Hello, this is Helpfully Yours, a podcast devoted to sharing and discussing stories of helping. I'm your host, Dr. Holly Howitt. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Helpfully Yours podcast. I'm here today with Pauline Breaux. Pauline is the Senior Services Program Manager, as well as the Healthy Aging Initiative Manager at Our Lady of Lourdes Regional Medical Center. Pauline has been a registered nurse for 42 years, all of them at Lourdes. Nothing and no one can stop Pauline when she is on a mission to help someone. And in 2016, Pauline formed the Acadiana Health Coalition, which brings together healthcare organizations across the care continuum for healthy patient outcomes. Pauline also serves as a board member on the Beacon Community Connections Board of Directors. Let's get to my interview with Pauline. Well, hi, Pauline, and welcome to the Helpfully Yours podcast. I'm so glad that you're here today.
Well, good morning, and thank you for having me. I'd love to have some conversation with you.
Yes, and I know that, you always have stories to tell, and, you know, you've been a nurse for a long time. I don't know if you're going to tell nursing stories or other stories. Either one is fine, but I'm really curious about your stories. So let's get started with you telling us about a time when you helped someone.
Oh, you know, there are so many stories I can tell you, but I'll share one of the recent stories within the hospital that I've been able to work with. I recently got a call from a facility in New Orleans, and it was someone from pastoral care and said, listen, I got your name. I wanted to see if you could help me. I said, well, what is going on? And he shared with me, he had an individual over there that was about 62 years old with extensive end-stage cancer, actually dying. But his family, which consisted of only his mother and father, was here in Lafayette. They were 87. The mom was 87. The dad was 92. And he wanted to be here so that he could die with his parents. You know, one of the things that are so hard, you know, for me, knowing that that's their only child and they would not be around for his end of life, I said, oh, look, I will promise you, I'm going to jump on this right now. So I made a few calls, talked to one of our inpatient hospice, made a call to the hospital that the individual was there, talked to them, found out exactly what was going on, and said, look, I got this call from your pastoral care. I really would like to try to help you. They were like, oh, great, because we didn't know how to do this. So we had the conversation. I spoke to the inpatient hospice, explained to them everything that needed to happen. I said, look, I said, you know, we have an 87-year-old mother and a 91-year-old father that wants to be with their son when he dies. I mean, immediately they just jumped on that. So we were able to get him here within 4 hours.
Wow.
It just everything worked. The mother and father were there to be able to with him that afternoon. He passed away the following day.
Oh, wow.
If it wouldn't have been for that communication of that pastoral care individual calling me, I would not have been able to help make that move. And I just feel like, oh my God, it's such a hard thing to lose someone, but a mother and father that physically couldn't get to their son, their only child,
right,
and not be there when he passed on was just something, couldn't let go, got to pull all the strings, got to get some support here. So while, you know, it was a hard story for the family. We were truly blessed in being able to let them be there and let that son see his mother and father before he passed. That was his biggest wish. So for me, that was one of my greatest accomplishments of that week. You know, I do a lot of other things, but that really kind of touched my heart. It was like, I had to fight for this.
Yes.
You know, so it was great. It was a sad story, but it had a happy ending because I knew that mom and dad and that patient were going to be okay because they were able to be with each other at the end of life.
Yeah. And that's just, it's so important. You know, I lost my mom 3 years ago, and just being able to be there with her at the end was like really important to me. And I'm always be grateful that I had that chance to do that. And, you know, even more, I think this story that you're telling just really exemplifies you. And it's something that I aspire to as well, is that people know you as someone that can help. And so when they don't know what to do, they call you, and you may not know what to do either, but you know, oh, well, maybe if I call this person, they can help me figure it out. And, you know, look at what you did within 4 hours of somebody reaching out, because somebody had heard that Pauline Breaux can make it happen.
Well, I do try. And, you know, I've been very fortunate to have worked in the industry for a long period of time. And I think, and whether they want to or not, if you know, they're going to find out about me, because if I see you, I'm going to introduce myself and what I do, because I'm always looking for what else can we provide to our patients and our families, you know. And even here at the hospital, I had a recent situation where I had some staff just stop me in the hall and say, hey, can you help this staff member? She's struggling. So I said, sure. So I went and met with her, and we were able to get some resources for her to be able to have a better quality in her life and help her through the trauma that she was in. So, you know, I'm blessed in that part. As you know, I talk a lot.
That's okay.
I'm not shy. And I'm always willing to help, you know, whatever I can. And I'm always looking for resources, anything I can get. And God just put me in a special place to be able to help this family. And I'm so blessed. I truly am.
Well, I just remember a time when you helped us at Beacon. We had a client that was in the jail that had suffered a stroke, and the jail did not know what to do. They did not want to release. This person was now wheelchair bound and was homeless before arriving at the jail. And just, they did not want this person to like be discharged back to the situation where he would, I mean, surely he would not survive. And so they called us, and we didn't know what to do about how to get somebody into a nursing home from jail. So I called you. And you said, oh, we got to do a PASAR. I don't know what a PASAR is. We got to do this and that. And you know, I connected you with the jail, and it took a while, but we were able to get that person to a nursing home to take care of him.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah. And, you know, I did go to the jail. That was the first time for me. you know, it was like, okay. But it was a different area, but I was, you know, able to help that staff talk to the little inmate and look at, he needed some other resources, and shared with the staff that was there, not only do you need to do this, but we got to get him this and this. Mm-hmm. So it was a great experience for me, because I saw something I had not seen before. And I think they were very appreciative. And I know the little gentleman was very appreciative.
Oh, yes.
You know, yes. So, you know, but it was kind of strange.
because yeah. I just had never been inside of the jail.
Well, that's yes. And that's most people have not, and that's okay. But yeah, so let's switch topics now and tell me about a time when someone helped you.
You know, I am so lucky. I've had so many people help me, but I will tell you a story about something as me, as a young individual, you know, just out of school, and I was 19 years old, and it really impacted my life tremendously. I was a 19-year-old single mom, raising a son, working at Walmart, actually. No, I'm sorry, Kmart. That was when we had Kmart. And I knew that as a mom, I needed to do something to get better, to be able to bring a better life to myself and to my child. And I decided that I needed to go to school. So I enrolled at LSUE, got in, started, you know, first semester, said I'm going to become a nurse. That's what I want to do. I really started wanting to do commercial art, and I did a year of that and said I can't support my child that way. But I did add a second love, and that was nursing. So I got in at LSU and met a lot of wonderful people. And the first week of school, and I'm driving from here to Eunice, from Lafayette to Eunice, and I'm doing okay. I got an old Buick, but it's making it. It's getting me back and forth. And I meet two nurses in class, and they're from Lafayette. And we said, okay, we're great. We're going to carpool. So I was like, oh, great, great. So the first week they car, you know, we took rotated first couple of weeks, they drove. And the third week it was my turn. And the first day, I can remember this, we're actually taking that Crawley exit. Mm-hmm. My car just stops. And it was gone. I mean, there was nothing else left to it. And I just knew that, oh my God, what am I going to do? I no longer have transportation to be able to go to school. And I was just struggling. I was like, man, it was like, okay, how am I going to do this? I just knew I was going to have to drop out of school. Mm-hmm. So after that happened, actually one of the nurses, her husband came and met us, and he brought us to school, and he checked on my car, and he said, yeah, it's gone. So the nurses said, looked at me and said, well, you know what, Pauline, and they knew that I was struggling and I was, you know, trying to get an education. And they looked at me and they said, look, don't worry about transportation. We will pick you up and we will take you every day to school.
Wow.
And that's what they did for 2 years. They helped me get to school so that I could get my degree, my first degree, and be able to have a better life, not only for me, for my child, and for the people, you know, that I hope to help. They were very special people. If it would not have been for someone or these two special ladies to have said, hey, we'll help you, I would not have been able to go to school. I would not have been able to be where I am at today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, that was, I can't tell you how extremely helpful that was. You know, transportation, it was like, oh my goodness. And, you know, I knew I could come here in Lafayette, but I was trying to get through a 3-year program in two.
Right.
To get on my feet quicker. So that was my options. And I was fortunate. I was blessed, actually great that I was able to get in, because I was carrying at that time 21 hours a semester and I was working 40 hours a week.
Oh, Pauline.
You know, but I had that, you know, not to have to worry about the transportation. And it was great because we could study on the way and on the way to back. They helped me, you know, we'd ride together to get our assignments, you know, so it was a tough situation, but I was so blessed to have those individuals, and not only them, my parents, my grandmother that helped me, because at the time, childcare wasn't paid for by anything. And I did not know. I was 19 years old. I didn't know what was available out there.
Right.
So my grandmother was helping me pay some of the sitter, and I was working, and, you know, and I mean, the only time I had off was between the hours of when I got off of work at 11:30 at night to 5:00. I studied during that time, slept, and started all over.
Oh, wow.
You know,
that must have been tough times.
It was. It was a tough, but it was a very rewarding situation that I knew that there was a reason why everything came into being, that I needed to be a nurse. I wanted to be a nurse. I wanted to be out there to help other people. This is just one. I've just been such a blessed person to be able to have done this, because I can guarantee you, if it would not have been for them, I would not have been able to go to school.
Yeah. I'm thinking about, I just was talking to my staff about, it's called the 10-10-10 rule. And it's like, when you're making a decision, you think about, like, what's the impact in 10 minutes? What's the impact in 10 months? And then what's the impact in 10 years? Well, you know, I think you can, I mean, I think someone, you could see, like, someone making the decision to, you know, help give you a ride. Well, in 10 minutes, that just relieves some immediate stress for you. You know, it solved a problem. You know, we think, you know, 10 months or, you know, a couple of years later, you were able to get your degree. What a great impact that one decision had. And then not even 10 years later, but 42 years later of being a nurse. I mean, just the amount of impact that one decision had. Thinking about all the people that you've helped because they helped you. It's astounding to me when I think about it.
And you know, I see a lot of young nurses and here at the hospital and talking to them and whatnot, or LPNs that are going back to school for RNs. And I share with them that, look, you know, look at what you really want. And if it's really what you want, it's worth fighting for. And if that means you're going to be a little bit less sleep, but you're going to accomplish, never give up.
Mm-hmm.
Never give up. And I really, you know, when my LPNs that are going back to school for RNs, I really try to help them to change their schedules, make recommendations. Okay, let's see how we can do this, you know, because I want them to succeed, because it's just going to be such a phenomenal thing for them to be able to meet the goals and the career that they really want and how they're going to touch our patients in the future. So, you know, it's kind of like paying back, because it was through those two nurses I was able to get some help. And now I'm trying to help my staff get a betterment, even my nursing assistants. I had one of the nurse aides, and she, you know, I kind of encouraged her. She'd been with me a while, and she's presently at school. She's in college. And she was sharing with me that her and her son are both seniors at UL.
Aww.
Getting a degree.
I love that.
You know, and she said, you know, Pauline, if you wouldn't have pushed me or said, hey, I'll help you, and you changed my schedule to where I could work on the weekends so I could go to school, I would have never been able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. I think it's, you know, you having lived through that experience just gives you just such an increased degree of empathy and understanding. You know, a lot of people might sympathize with someone's situation and try to, you know, and still try to adjust and make changes, but you having lived through that, you know, just, I think that just you can definitely see your heart and in the work that you do, and, you know, helping your staff to meet their goals in life.
You know, and I tell you, you know, I've touched a lot of people, and some people, and I am the worst. I will tell you, I am the worst for names. I'll recognize your face, but I may not recognize your name. But I have had many of the staff come back, and they never forget everything that they've learned with me. You know, I take a lot of pride in that, in the fact that, hey, Pauline, you know, you taught me this, or you taught me that, or you helped me here. It's like, okay, maybe that is my footprint for life, that I need to be able to help and continue doing that. And I love it. I truly do. When you can see a smile for someone who you can actually see the stress just kind of relieve from their face when they have a solution.
Yes.
You know, it's wonderful to see.
It is. It is. And, you know, as we're about to close out with this conversation, I'm struck that when we're recording this, this is National Nurses Week. So, Pauline, you know, thank you for being like such an excellent nurse, and the contributions you've made to our community. And, you know, I just think, you know, nursing, I mean, the heart of nursing is helping. I love that we're kind of, while this will actually be published in a couple of weeks, we are recording this during National Nurses Week.
Well, thank you so much. It's, you know, like I said, I truly enjoy what I do as a nurse, but mostly as a person, as an individual. You know, nursing is not just about the clinical. It's about the people. It's about the people you care for and making sure that it's not just, you know, putting a Band-Aid on something. It's more about meeting them where they're at.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Well, Pauline, thank you so much for being on Helpfully Yours and sharing your stories. And I really do appreciate all the work that you do for Beacon and for Our Lady of Lourdes Regional Medical Center and just for the community of Acadiana.
Well, you're quite welcome.
This has been an Atomic K production. Recording was done in Lafayette, Louisiana by Holly Howitt, with editing and technical assistance from Spencer Howitt. Check out our website at helpfully-yours.alitu.com to listen to all episodes and as well as show notes. To make sure you don't miss an episode, make sure to subscribe to the Helpfully Yours podcast. Music is from Scenic World's Dissolving Art album. The Helpfully Yours podcast supports the mission of Beacon Community Connections. Learn more at beaconconnections.org.